Okay, so let's begin this morning that all that we do with every facet of worship we're involved in this morning will be glorifying to Him. And so test ourselves to see if we're in the Spirit. So let's just begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this humble assembly. We're so thankful that you see fit to use it in so many wonderful ways. In the internet, young people, missionaries, and right here at home, Father, where we can fellowship, assemble ourselves together for the study of the Word. And Father, we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, be acceptable to you and pleasing to you, be a sweet fragrance aroma to you, Father. And this will be by the power of the Holy Spirit, so we pray that all that we do will be in His power. Father, we pray these things now in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, this is Communion Sunday, and so, Brown, what are we going to sing? The announcements, very simple. Today we have communion. And Terry, how's our young man doing? Good. That is so good.
Uh-huh.
Always wore me out, but I'm... Yeah. Oh, wow.
So, first day, he took a nap, and so, you know, he gets to cut the pain himself. He's glad to have some normal
pain. Since he started into the school training and all, what would be the prayer request? Excuse me one moment. We have some visitors. We're talking about a 15-year-old young man who last year came down with a rare blood disease, went into leukemia, and went into the various treatments of chemo, was in ICU for about a week.
24 days.
So we didn't know what God's plan. We've been in prayer, watching this young man. A lot of people all over the world have been praying for him. And how long has he been home?
He's at day 80 post-transplant. He also had a stem cell transplant. That's what the medicine was to produce new bone marrow.
Okay.
And he's on day 80 post-transplant. We were relieved on day 22 from the hospital. So he's been home about
62 months. All right. Okay, having completed the school, or starting the school, how would you want us to pray?
Just keep praying that our study continues to have patience. You missed this being a part of school, and going to school is different stuff. And he's never complained, he's never wanted, he's never asked why, he just knows what he needs to do. But I can see, it's a struggle. He's just trying to stay busy with his work.
Yeah. Yes.
He has to go through it all again. So that he continues to stay healthy. The doctors do say we're doing everything right and everything's going to plan.
Fantastic. Beautiful. Well, we'll just continue to be in prayer for the strength.
In response to your question, what she thinks is also for stamina and energy.
Stamina, energy increased each day. Yeah. Okay, well, we'll continue to be in prayer. Thank you very much. And just remind you on the 18th, Sunday the 18th, John Hens, pastor of Tucson Bible Church, will be here. We'll have service Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Monday night. And I just hope that you can arrange your schedule to meet with us. I know we don't normally meet on Monday night or Sunday night, but just come for some fellowship and Bible study. Yes, sir?
What time
is it? Sunday night? Oh, yeah, 7:30. I didn't even think about that. 7:30 and 7:30 Monday night. No, no, no class on Wednesday night. So please try to arrange it where you can be here on Monday, Sunday night and Monday night to worship with John and for the conference at all. Let's see. Let's continue to be in prayer for Jim Passmore and Mindy. They're in Italy, so I want to pray they have a good time, but make it back safely. For Kit and Julian, who are in Greece, that they make it back and Kit can come back. And we're assuming, Jim and I, that Olivia made it okay and her son back to Thailand. It's always a pleasure to have her here for a month or so to worship with us. She's so hungry for the truth. And so that just continue to be in prayer for Olivia. Any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes, sir. Absolutely. We'll be in prayer. Do you know if he's a believer or not?
He is.
Good. Okay. Very good. And let's see, any other prayer requests? Yes, sir.
Continue to be in prayer for the young people, especially, and then I know this seems like a long way off. We're looking at next year's camp. Olivia is talking about bringing kids from Thailand to join us next year, so we have a lot of decisions we have to make.
Yeah. Oh, wow, beautiful.
It's an amazing ministry right now with our young people.
I love it.
Just a lot of praise, a lot of requests of prayer for all of us.
Gerald Weber called yesterday to ask about camp and what was going to be done through the year. So he, He has a good heart in Houston. How did your Thursday night go?
Larry had Wednesday night, and they had a bunch of kids there. And
well, I was going to come to her.
Oh, sorry.
We think of it as all one day.
Okay.
It's awesome.
Good.
Just the kids are just absorbing the truth, and the teaching is, okay, Lori's doing some teaching, I'm doing some teaching, and Trey's teaching. I mean, your outreach there is fantastic.
How was your Wednesday night? Oh, wow.
Just as Trey's starting to teach, the door knocks, and here comes some kid that's never been before.
Wow.
So, in regards to the specifics of the prayers, not just for the children in general, but Satan doesn't want this thing to happen.
No.
I mean, I can already tell you the pot's stirring. So just, you know, the walls of protection, these kids have questions that are unbelievable.
Fantastic. I love what they're asking.
They don't go to church. They don't know where to go for the questions.
Y'all hear your prayer? Is what you need to be in prayer about. Go ahead.
So, I mean, I don't know, Trey, if you want to add to that.
No, it's just the response. Larry and Brian's get up their house every Wednesday night. I mean, we had almost 20 kids.
Wow.
And so it's really expanding, and the kids seem to be taking it. Like Larry said, the parents maybe, I'm not sure about some of the kids just absorb it, but the parents are really.
When young people come back, that shouts. That shouts.
And Larry's really done a good job of making sure the kids understand. Bring your prayers.
That's beautiful. Cameron.
Would you be in prayer for the Chavez family?
Okay. Please be that in prayer. You don't need to know. Just be in prayer. God knows what the issue is. Okay. I don't want to embarrass anyone, but Romeo, introduce your friends. Introduce your friends. What friends? What friends do I have?
My long-time friend, actually, Rose, Stan, now Bernham, I've been a friend for 20 years.
Oh, my goodness, wow.
I've been with them for about 10 years, and last week, I found them.
All right, we're glad to have you all. And Chris, I'm going to put you on the spot. Oh. Ah, okay. I got a lot of aches and pains. Can we talk? Chris, and I forgot the one girl's name. Can you introduce our two visitors?
Yes. All right, our two visitors. We have Nikki and Comfort.
Madube, okay.
Madube and then Nikki, who...
Nikki, yours is easy to remember.
We're going with Comfort. No, Madube and Nikki, they live around here.
And how did they find us?
What'd you say, internet?
Just found us on the internet.
Hey, they're a lot more savvy than Google family.
Yeah. Oh, we had a lady from Thailand. She teaches at a university there.
Taiwan.
What did I say? Thailand? Taiwan. And she was visiting her son who went to school here, graduated, and came same way on the internet, walked over, couldn't really find us. Did y'all have trouble finding us? There's no signs or anything. We want to find out if you really want to be here. We're going to find you really want to be here. And but she just as really, she now listens on the internet, and I teach some of her college classes by the Skype. So we're glad to have you. Hope you enjoy the worship here this morning. So, the Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly nor of necessity. The offertory is a family issue. It's for believers only. But it's not just for believers. It's for believers who know how to be filled with the Spirit and led by the Spirit. Paul said, if I give everything that I own to feed the poor, so that I myself become poor, but do not have love, it profiteth nothing. And love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So it's not just a matter of giving, it's a matter of giving as unto the Lord, as the Lord prosper, in the power and leading of His Spirit. So with these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this assembly. We're thankful that you've seen fit to use it in so many different ways. We're kind of under the radar, hidden. But Colossians, Paul tells us in Colossians that we should be hidden, be revealed when Jesus Christ comes. So, Father, we pray now that you will receive the offerings that we're about to give, that you'll continue to use these offerings for the spreading of the gospel to both unbelievers and the gospel to believers. We put our cup out, and you pour in, and you lead, and you guide what you would have us to do in every area of service. Father, we pray these things now in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. You'll open your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. This verse in Romans 5 that we're come to, verse 5, one of the most beautiful, gracious verses in all the Bible, especially as far as a believer is concerned. So let's prepare ourselves for the study of the Word of God. Remember, there is nothing more dangerous in your life than to open this book. You will do nothing. You will be involved in nothing. You can go nowhere more dangerous than opening this book. Because if we open it in the flesh, you can see whatever you want to see. You can see works. You can see so many things that are antithetical to the truth here. It is so important that we enter this with that reverence, that fear and trembling of seeing the truth of God's Word. And that demands that we be in the power of His Spirit. So let's spend a moment, test yourself to see if you're trusting in the Spirit, who is the teacher. I'm not the teacher. He is the teacher. Let us pray. Now, Heavenly Father, we pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will open our eyes to the things you'd have us to see, understand, and grasp, and then become a reality in our lives. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. We are in verse 5. The process begins in verse 3. And not only this, exalting in the glory of God, hope of the glory of God, but we also exalt in our tribulation. Now, why do we do that? Knowing, there's the secret. Do you know the truth of Scripture? Knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. And perseverance, not proven character, not experience as a King James, but proven faith. And we looked at some 10 to 15 verses throughout all the New Testament. This is what God is looking for. Will you keep trusting? And proven faith. And proven faith, hope. And then, verse 5, and hope. Now, the great issue is, what is your hope in? So we spend time in the study on that Sunday dealing with hope, looking through the Bible, and the object of hope is the love of God. The hope and the love of God. Now, that hope does not disappoint. Why doesn't it disappoint? Look what it says. Because the love of God, and I insert just for emphasis, has already been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now, we saw last week the genitive there, the love of God, this is God's love for us. It is so vital, people, that in the midst of tribulation, adversity of life, that we know God loves me. Because sometimes it doesn't look like you love me. It doesn't look like you care. I'm going through this tribulation. I'm going through this suffering. And this love from Him to us has been poured out within our hearts. Now we come to the phrase, the most beautiful phrase in this verse, has been poured out within our hearts through or by means of the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now, there is so much confusion on the third member of the Godhead. Who He is, His ministry, how we tap into it. A lot of people will talk about the fruit of the Spirit and be filled with the Holy Spirit. They don't tell you how. It's like talking about how wonderful it is to be saved, but don't tell you how to be saved. How am I filled with the Holy Spirit? How do I tap into this power? The love of God for me has been poured within our hearts by this Holy Spirit. How does this become experiential reality in my life? Now, what we're going to look at in a moment here, I'd like you to turn to Galatians chapter 3. We're going to look at another word for that grace word, given, has been given to you. Now, I had planned on this, I had some PowerPoint presentations for our study this morning, but something went wrong with the computer, so I'll have to do it the old-fashioned way. Just talk our way through this. So let's take a look at Galatians chapter 5. So you want to find the book of Galatians. And chapter 5. And we're going to look at verse 3. At verse 3. Now, the whole deal here is living by faith. The book of Galatians is written to people who were saved by grace through faith, and trying to live by law, trying to live by do and do, do and do. And so Paul starts out in Galatians chapter 3 with a very important little statement where he says, "You foolish Galatians." The word foolish here means non-thinking. You're not thinking this through. See, if you were saved by grace through faith, aren't you thinking? That's the way you're going to be filled with the Spirit. That's the way you're going to live. Is by grace through faith. It's going to be the same, see? That's the procedure. So, now we move down to verse 5 in chapter 3 of Galatians. And verse 5 says, "Does he," and he here is God the Father. I had this all on the overhead for the PowerPoint, but let me just walk, we'll talk our way through it. "Does he," God the Father, "then," and the word "then" takes up, you're already saved by grace through faith. Now, what about the Holy Spirit? "Then, who provides you with the Spirit." Who provides you. Now, in Romans 5:5, what was it? "Who give you have been given. The Holy Spirit you have been given." Here it says, "who provides you with the Spirit." This is a present active participle of epikourageo. And what this word means is, and if I had it on the overhead, the reason I showed you the Greek, because of another verse we're going to look at and show you the corresponding of the Greek, but we'll just see if we can communicate these things. The word, Greek word, means to furnish, to supply. Provide is fine. I like the word supply. It's a grace word. You know what this word describes? This word describes one who paid all the bills. If they want to put on a play, especially a chorus and a play in the ancient world, the Greek world, somebody has to front the money. It has to come from somewhere. Well, this is a person who would supply everything necessary for the chorus, supply everything necessary for the play. So it came to mean one who supplies all that is needed for whatever the task is. So let's translate this. "Does he," God the Father, "who graciously supplies you with the Spirit," the Holy Spirit. So in chapter 5 of Romans, given you, here supplies you the Holy with the Holy Spirit so that you can fulfill your mission. Then it says, and really the chi here should be translated even, not, and then it shouldn't be works. It shouldn't be works. And if I had the overhead, I could show you. It's a participle. If you remember anything about a participle, it's a present active participle. It's working. Even working. And the word, next word should not be translated miracles. It's dunamis, where we get the word dunamai, and it means power. Yes? Galatians 3:5. Galatians chapter 3, I'm sorry, verse 5. Galatians 3, verse 5. So what we're looking at here is, let's see if I had, there it is. Okay. "Does he," God the Father, "then, who graciously supplies you with the Holy Spirit, even working," the participle working, and the word is dunamis, "even working power." Even working power. And then the Greek is not among you, but in you. The preposition is in you. So we have something like this. Does he, God the Father, who graciously supplies you with the Spirit, even working power in you, that's the function of the Holy Spirit, to work power in us, not among us, does he do it by works of the law or by the hearing with faith? How am I filled with the Spirit? By doing something? By confession? By yielding? By this? By that? No, people, it's simple. Colossians says, as you have received him, walk. So how do these things happen? Happen by grace through faith. Everything we do with God, people, has to be by grace. You can't earn or deserve anything from God as an unbeliever or as a believer. It's received by grace through faith. So here God the Father is said to supply us with the Holy Spirit so that we might have the working power in us to perform our mission, to glorify Christ, to glorify the Father, to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, to grow in the knowledge of the Father. Everything that we are to do in our Christian life, people, you have to have the power. It can either be done in the flesh or in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's going to be one or the other. I mean, giving, praying, witnessing, studying the Word, all these things. You're either going to do it in the flesh or you're going to do it in this power source that God has given to us, the Holy Spirit. Again, the great issue, how do I tap into that power, see? So, in Romans 5:5, you have the word given. The Holy Spirit given to you. In Galatians 3:5, supplied to you. Provided or supplied to you. Just God looked down and he said, okay, this is what you're going to need. Boom, you got it. And I'm going to supply you with the Holy Spirit. Let's look at Philippians 1:19. Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. Philippians 1:19, for I know that this shall turn out for my deliverance through your prayers. People, just very quickly, side issue. Power of prayer by Spirit-filled believers. Your prayers can incite God to deliver other believers through circumstances. If you have to make up your mind, you believe in prayer, you don't. We've been praying for Thomas, for an example, for a long time. And I believe in the power of prayer. You're filled with the Spirit, pray to him, incite him. So, for I know, chapter 1, verse 19 of Philippians, for I know that this shall turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So, here, in a sense, we have a third word, but really it's a form of the same word you just had in Galatians. It means to supply, to provide everything that is needed for something. So it's called here the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Now let's learn some things about the Holy Spirit. And let's take a look at the various designations. First of all, let's look at the Old Testament. First of all, the Old Testament. In Genesis 1:2, he is called the Spirit of God, sent of God. Also, Exodus 31:3. Also, Exodus 35:31. I wish we had time to look at each of these in your text so that you'd see it. But you can go home and maybe spend some time on this. He's called the Spirit of God. In Deuteronomy 34:9, he's called the Spirit of Wisdom. He is also called the Spirit of the Lord. In Judges 3:10. 6:34, 11:29, and one that I really like of Samson. I just love the study of Samson. Samson's a Christ-type figure, unbelievably. And he had the Spirit of the Lord, Judges 13:25, 14:6, and 19. By no way he killed all those people with the jawbone of an ass. You know what the Bible says? He's filled with the Spirit. He was empowered by God. Those are the things that can happen. And you don't earn it. If anybody didn't earn the power of the Holy Spirit, it's Samson. But there it is. People, you don't earn the grace of God. Anytime somebody tells you you've got to earn blessings from God, you've got to earn something from God, they lie. They have a false view of God. That's not the God of the Bible. You cannot earn from Him. It's by grace. It's also the Spirit of the Lord to David in 1 Samuel 16:13. In Isaiah 11:2. Isaiah 61:1. Now let's go to the New Testament. That's where I had the PowerPoint, but I'll just have to give these to you, and you can write them out. These are the designations that we should understand the Holy Spirit in these various references. First of all, New Testament, He's the Spirit of your Father. Matthew 10:20. The Spirit of your Father. Secondly, He's the Spirit of the Lord. Luke 4:18. Spirit of truth. You want to know truth? Got to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Gospel of John 14:17. Gospel of John 15:26. Gospel of John 16:13. The Spirit of Jesus, sent by Jesus Christ, Acts 16:7. Spirit of holiness, Romans 1:4. One that I like, Spirit of life, Romans 8:2. Now, it's a Bible church. Let's open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. We need to just slow down a little bit and see some of this and how it's put together for us. Now, we've already noted in Romans 8:2, the Spirit of life, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. But now what I want you to do is to look at Romans 8:9. Romans chapter 8, and let's look at verse 9 together. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God, so here he's called the Spirit of God, dwells in you. Now, if you've written down the Spirit of God, just for also 1 Corinthians 3:16, he's called the Spirit of God. But I want to stay our concentration here in Romans 8. And then in verse 9, it says, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ. So the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of God. It's called the Spirit of Christ. He's called the Spirit of Christ also in 1 Peter 1:11. Look at verse 11 in Romans 8. Romans 8 is a great chapter on the Holy Spirit in the Bible. It's one of the three great chapters on the Holy Spirit in the Bible. All right, Romans 8, verse 11. But the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead. But the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who indwells you. See, people, when we sin, think about this now. Here we are as unbelievers, dead, unable to save ourselves, unable to give ourselves eternal life, God's life. The only thing that we can do is faith. We cannot do any works, we're dead. Faith is non-meritorious. So we believe in Jesus Christ, and you're made alive in Christ. Now, as a born-again believer, when we sin, mental attitude sin, anger, jealousy, arrogance, pride, sin of the tongue, gossip, judging, maligning, lying, overt sin. I don't even want to start on that list. Overt sin. We're dead. We're dead temporally, not eternally, but we're dead spiritually, temporally. I want to be alive. I want back in the light. How do I get back into the light? The light is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives spiritual life. It's what He sent for. Well, when you were an unbeliever, how did you get it? By faith. As a believer, how are you going to get it? By faith. He's the Spirit of life. Jesus Christ gives us eternal life. The Holy Spirit gives us spiritual life. It's powerful. There's just so little teaching on the Holy Spirit, and then there's a whole lot of teaching by a lot of people who just, I'm sorry, they got it wrong. They missed it. We need to correctly understand the third member of the Godhead in our lives, in our salvation, eternal life salvation, in our spiritual life salvation. Look at chapter 8, verse 14. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God. He's called the Spirit of God. Also, 1 Corinthians 2:11, 1 Corinthians 2:14, and 1 Corinthians 3:16. He's noted as the Spirit of God. So, Romans chapter 8 talks about being led of the Spirit. Now, Galatians doesn't give it a designation. But you walk by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit. People, let me explain what keeping in step with the Spirit means. You're out of the filling of the Spirit. You're in the flesh. You're doing things your way. Now, you may be singing praises, giving money, witnessing, praying, doing all this stuff, but it's all dead. But I want to tell you something. The Holy Spirit's going on. So we either get in step with Him, or you're on your own. How do you get back in step with Him? By faith. What did you stop doing? Walking by faith. Just start doing what you stopped doing. Now let me continue the list. So we have those in Romans chapter 8. He is the Spirit of the living God in 2 Corinthians 3:3. Spirit of the living God in 2 Corinthians 3:3. Spirit of the Lord, 2 Corinthians 3:17. Spirit of His Son, Galatians 4:6. The Holy Spirit of promise, we should take time and look at Ephesians 1:13, but is the Holy Spirit of promise. Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Spirit of wisdom and revelation, Ephesians 1:17. Spirit of God. Now, we've already noted this, but Ephesians 4:30. Spirit of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:19. Philippians 3:3. He's the Spirit of grace. Hebrews 10:29. And then finally, in 1 Peter 4:14, He's the Spirit of glory. All of these people, we need to know Him in these ways. Each of these ways. We need to understand His function, His purpose. Now let's take a look at the teaching of Jesus Christ on the Holy Spirit and get a clue as to why He's called the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Do you know that Jesus Christ did more teaching on the Holy Spirit than all the writers of Scripture combined? Combined. He did more new revelation, more information on the Holy Spirit than anywhere in the Bible. Because, and one of the reasons, two reasons why the most teaching by Jesus Christ, on the Holy Spirit by Jesus Christ, one of two, one reason is no one in all history has walked in the power of the Spirit like Jesus Christ did. He was never out. He was led by the Spirit. He loved by the Spirit. He died on the cross. Everything He did was by the power of God the Holy Spirit and leading of the Holy Spirit. Think about it. Love one another as I have loved you. People, if He did that from His deity, I couldn't do it, neither could you. We're not God. If He did it from His perfect humanity, I can't do it. My mother convinced me when I was very young, with whipping after whipping, I'm not perfect. I mean, she made that very loud and clear. You are not perfect. Bam, bam. See? So, I couldn't do it. He loved by the power of the Holy Spirit. I can do it. Why? Because I have the Holy Spirit in me, just like He did. I can do that. And then second reason most teaching is by Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is because the Holy Spirit came and took His place on planet Earth. He wanted to be sure we knew about this one who was going to take His place on Earth. Jesus Christ came, died on a cross, buried, rose from the dead, ascended to heaven, and seated at the right hand of the Father, and right now is physically at the right hand of God the Father. I will not leave you as orphans. I'm sending you one to take my place. And just as you dealt with me, you deal with Him. Just as you followed me, you follow Him. Just as you trusted me, you trust Him. Just as you listened to me, you listen to Him. Most people know the story of the Good Samaritan. How the guy was beaten up on the road, and the religious crowd walked by and snubbed their nose, wouldn't help. Came by a Samaritan, reached down and helped him. Who's the Samaritan? Jesus Christ. Who's the man beaten on the road? That's us as unbelievers. He lifted us up, anointed us all with oil. He saved us. And then what did He do? It's very important. He took the wounded man to the innkeeper, turn him over to the innkeeper. You take care of him until I return. Who's the innkeeper? The Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ turned us over to the innkeeper, the Holy Spirit. And when He returns, He doesn't come back to earth at the rapture. He comes to the air, the Holy Spirit takes us up and takes us to Him, turns us back over to Him. That's why I love wedding rehearsals. I used to hate them until I decided I might as well use this for teaching. If they're going to take up my Friday night, I'm going to give them some teaching. See? If they're going to do that to me, they're going to get some teaching. And I talk about how when the Father generally brings the bride down, that's a picture of the Holy Spirit bringing the bride of the church to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ brings up, that's a picture of Jesus Christ taking the church to God the Father. Just a beautiful picture of all the work of the Holy Spirit. So let's take a look of the Holy Spirit as He's taught by Jesus Christ. You know why you have the Holy Spirit? Let me just answer this question first of all. The Holy Spirit who was given to you, do you know why you have the Holy Spirit? Because of the love of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ loves you. That's why. What does spiritual love do? Spiritual love, the first thing you want to learn about spiritual love is that spiritual love observes. And I'm talking about a husband or a wife, parent or child, friend. Spiritual love observes. It's the first thing you want to know. And then spiritual love meets that need. God the Father looked down and observed we were lost. And He sent His Son that we may have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He saw that we were in need. He met the only thing that would meet that need. Jesus Christ looked at us, saw a need. He gave to us the Holy Spirit. He provided us, along with the Father, the Holy Spirit. So Jesus Christ came into the world, died on a cross, bore the judgment sins of the world, providing for the forgiveness of sins, then was buried, rose from the dead, departed the earth, returned to the Father, seated at the right hand of God the Father. But before He left, let's see what He did. Turn to John 14. We'll not spend a lot of time here, but just, I've got to do this. The Holy Spirit's part of our daily, moment-by-moment life, and we've got to understand so much about Him. Jesus Christ knew He could not leave us alone. He could not leave the church alone. He could not leave His bride alone. So John 14, verse 16, "And I, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, your Savior, will ask the Father," future tense. Why is it future? Death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and session. And the first thing He does when He sits down next to the Father, He doesn't go, "Wow, am I glad to be back here. Boy, you can't believe how pitiful they are down there." Then what he did? First thing he did, he asked that God would send us someone. I will ask the Father. So he sits down at the right hand of the Father, and he asked the Father something for us. We were on his mind. Now the Greek word to ask here means to ask among equals. There are several different Greek words for asking. One is to ask among equals. Another is an inferior to a superior. And when Jesus Christ talks about us praying to the Father, he uses the Greek word to ask, an inferior to superior. This is for equals. He is equal with the Father. These are just beautiful things that come out. So I will ask the Father. All prayers addressed to the Father. And he, God the Father, will give you, that's the same word we have in Romans 5:5, he who has been given to you in Romans 5:5, here we're told why. Why are you given the Holy Spirit? Because Jesus Christ asked God the Father to send us the Holy Spirit, to give us the Holy Spirit. That's why you have him. In Romans 5:5, the love of God has been, the love of God for you, been poured into your heart, through the Holy Spirit, by means of the Holy Spirit, who's been given to you. Why was he given to me? Because Jesus Christ loves you, and he has the Father to send you the Holy Spirit. Now let's see what he says. And he, God the Father, will give to you, and then it says, another helper. Okay, let's go through a couple of things. First of all, that word another, there are two different Greek words for another. There is another of a different kind, another of the same kind. You don't get this in the English. This is another of the same kind. What's he saying? And the disciples knew it. Another one like me, deity. Deity. So I'm going to ask him that he will send you another. Then we have that word helper. I don't like the word helper. And I've looked at a lot of translations, and they use other words. But I'm just going to stay with the Greek, parakletos, P-A-R-A-C-L-E-T-O-S. Helper gives you the idea, well, help me push my car, I'll get out and push and you help. You don't help the Holy Spirit. He does it. He does it. We trust him. He's not sent here to help. He does it. Just like, oh, I'm going to help Jesus Christ save me. I'm going to invite him into my heart. I'm going to do the sacraments. I'm going to be good. I'm going to be moral. I'm going to make him Lord. No, you don't help Jesus Christ. He did it all. Tetelestai, it is finished. Paid in full. Will you just receive it by faith? And same thing with the Holy Spirit. He does it all. Let him do it by faith. Let him work. Oh, how we like to take credit for what he does. I witness, I did this, I'm going to get rewards for that. He does it, people. We're a stone that he uses. We're a stone that he uses. Or if you don't like that, we're like Balaam's ass. We just say what he inspires us to say. And how do we do that? Well, by faith. Trusting him. So it's another parakletos. Another one, just like me, deity. Deity. Then it says that he may be with you forever. You'll never lose the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You'll never lose the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now, when you die and waiting for the rapture, the interim, the resurrected body, and all eternity, you will never lose the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He's your seal. People that say you can lose your salvation, then they make God, I can't use the word Indian giver, it's not politically correct anymore, but you know what I'm saying. It doesn't make him, well, I'm going to take it back now. I've given you these blessings, but I'm taking them back. We're seeing on Wednesday night in the Lord's Prayer, in John 17. People, if you can lose your salvation, God loses his glory. Your having eternal life is part of the glory of God. So if someone tells you you can lose that, then God loses his glory. If God can snatch us out of Satan's kingdom of darkness and we can be back in there, God loses his glory. People, you can't lose your salvation. You cannot lose the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And now, look at verse 17. That he may be with you forever. Now verse 8, that is the Spirit. Now what is he talking about here? All right, it's going to be another Parakletos, like me, another just like me deity. Don't look for human. Don't look for human. He's spirit. So that's why the word he is spirit there. It's not only so we know it's the Holy Spirit, but in contrast, Jesus Christ was in the flesh. He is deity, the God-man in the flesh. I'm going to send you another just like me, but don't look for a human. He is spirit. He is spirit. So the other Parakletos, like Jesus Christ, deity, but he's not human, he's spirit. So don't be looking for another one like me in the flesh. He is the spirit of truth. He will disclose truth to you. People, every time I sit down at my desk to study, I spend time just checking it out. Am I trusting the Spirit, or am I going to try to do this Greek and Hebrew and this study in the flesh? Or am I going to rely on Him to open my eyes, to show me things in the text? The same thing is true whenever, whatever we do, every part of our life, do as unto the glory of God. Everything we do, do for the glory of God. Relationship of husband and wife, friends, family, associates, work, pleasure, enjoyment, do for the glory of God. How does that happen? By the power of the Holy Spirit who is given to us. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not know Him or know Him, but you know Him because He abides with you and is with you. So question, when was the Holy Spirit given to you? People, the Holy Spirit is given to you, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that you can never lose at the point of faith in Jesus Christ. It's among the 34 things that God gives you the moment you believe in Jesus Christ. You have a nice package of things, 34 things that you can't lose. They're given to you, solid, forever. And the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is one of those. Now, the second question, why was the Holy Spirit given to you? Why did Jesus Christ give the Holy Spirit to you? Well, Romans chapter 5, verse 5, we know one reason, that the love of God for us be poured out into our hearts. Just think about that. Think about that. I know He loves me, and I know that when I'm in the power of the Holy Spirit. When I'm in the flesh, I don't feel like He loves me, especially when I'm in tribulation, suffering, adversity, sickness, mine or someone I love. See? But in the power of the Spirit, that love becomes experiential reality. Let's take a look. The teaching of Jesus Christ of the Holy Spirit prior to His crucifixion. Okay? Point one. His sending of the Holy Spirit, John 14, 16 and 17, which we just read. Two, His ministry to believers. This is the teaching of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, people. You care about the Lord, care about the Holy Spirit. Here's what the Holy Spirit taught us. And as I said, no one taught more about the Holy Spirit than Jesus Christ. And I'm just going to give you a run-through idea of what He taught. So, point two, the Holy Spirit's ministry to believer, teach and bring to remembrance. Look at John 14, 26. Teach and bring to remembrance. But the Parakletos, that is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. Here you have the word send. That's another word. We've had give. We've had supply. And now we got the word to send. Send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Three, the Holy Spirit, ministry, bearing witness to Jesus Christ, to believers and unbelievers. Chapter 15. Let's read verses 26 and 27. Chapter 15, verse 26. When the Parakletos comes, whom I will send to you. See, the Father sends, I send. They both send Him, both of the Father. Your eternal life salvation, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Your spirituality, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The sending of the Holy Spirit, God the Father and God the Son. just so powerful. The unity and the unified plan of the Godhead. All right, verse 26 of chapter 15. When the Parakletos comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who will proceed from the Father, he will bear witness of me. And you will bear witness of me because you have been with me from the beginning. All right, point four. The Holy Spirit indwells believers. John 14 that we just studied, he will always be with you. But let's look at John 16:7. John 16:7. But I tell you the truth, Jesus Christ speaking, it is to your advantage that I go away. Oh, people, just stop and think about that. We're walking with the Lord. We know He's the Son of God. We know He's the Savior. What do you mean it's my advantage that you go away? Think about that. How can that be to my advantage that I have you and I can listen to you, I can touch you, I can ask you questions and all of this? How can that be to my advantage? Okay, let's see what he says. It is to your advantage that I go away to the Father. For if I do not go away, the Parakletos shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And now people, Christians all over the world can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't care where they are. In Germany, in India, in Africa, in South America, wherever they are in the world. If Jesus Christ were here, we'd all want to be there. Where's he staying tonight? The Hilton. Five million people booked the Hilton. Well, we only have 102 rooms. See? We all want to be there. What's God's plan for you? You walk in the power of the Spirit. What's God's plan for you? You walk in the power of the Spirit. It's a different plan for you, different plan for you, different plan for me. It's all to the glory of God. It all glorifies Christ. But because we all have the Holy Spirit, we can all live now and not just be... See, the disciples walked by sight. Let's make that clear. They didn't walk by faith. Jesus Christ went to Galilee, Galilee. Jesus Christ went to Samaria, Samaria. Jesus Christ went to Jerusalem. Doubting Thomas said, okay, let's go to Jerusalem and die. We're all going to die because he's going to die. But okay, I'll follow him. They walk by sight. He's gone. How are we going to know where to walk? How are we going to know where to go? How are we going to know what to do? I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. Same. Point five. Convicting the world, the unbelievers, chapter 16, 8 through 11. Six, the Holy Spirit's ministry to believers. 16, 12 and 13. Let's look at 16, 12 and 13. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them. You cannot grasp them. Why not? Because they don't have the Holy Spirit. People, whenever you open this book, whether it's here, at home, whatever you're doing, on a plane, wherever you are, just a quiet time, please check and be sure you're in the power of the Spirit, trusting the Spirit to open your eyes. Otherwise, you won't be able to grasp it. Oh, you'll understand some things in the flesh. People, in seminary, we had a study man who had this whole shelf right there filled with their books. Not one of them understood salvation's by faith alone in Christ alone. And we had to study these yo-yos. I still don't understand why we had to study them. Oh, great theologians, all great with the Greek and Hebrew and all that. They couldn't even see how to be saved. We need the Holy Spirit to open our eyes. I have many more things to say to you, but right now you can't grasp them. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will disclose. By the way, the same thing is said of Jesus Christ. He didn't speak on His own initiative either. What I speak, I hear from the Father. What I hear from the Father, I speak. I don't speak of my own. Okay? But whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. 7. His ministry in reference to Jesus Christ. Glorify Jesus Christ. Look at chapter 16, verse 14. He shall glorify me. People, you better know how to be filled with the Spirit if you want to glorify Christ. Oh, I'm going to glorify Christ. I'm going to sing and praise. I'm going to glorify Christ. I'm going to witness. I'm going to glorify Christ. I'm going to church. I'm going to glorify Christ. No, people, it isn't what you do. It's the power in which we do it. You want to do, the greatest praise that we can pray to God is trusting. Faith. That's the greatest praise. It's the greatest praise. He will glorify me. You want to glorify the Father? You better know how to be filled with the Spirit. Better know that it's by grace through faith to be able to do that. He is sent, the Holy Spirit is sent by God the Father. He's sent by Jesus Christ. Know that He will teach you, disclose to you. So, as you dealt with me, you deal with Him. That's what Jesus Christ is saying. Well, we've got to close now and get ready for our communion service. We will pick it up here next Sunday morning. I have a few more things that I want to go through in reference to the teaching on the Holy Spirit who was given to you. Then we'll take a look at some things dealing with that love of God poured out into our hearts. Not your love for Him. That's important. But it's His love for you. That's vital. That's vital. Now we'll prepare ourselves for the celebration of the Eucharist. I want to remind you in this respect that the Eucharist is designed for any believer. There's no such thing as closed communion in the Bible. If there was, I would teach it. If there was anything about closed communion taught in the Bible, okay, I wouldn't understand it, but I'd say, okay, people, if you're a member of the body of Christ, we encourage you, join us. Do not deprive yourself of communion with God, communion with other believers, because of something that's not in the Bible. This is communion with the body of Christ. Everyone that's a believer in Christ participates in it. And the giving of the communion, taking, partaking of the communion service. There are quickly two elements. There's the bread and the cup. The bread represents our eternal life salvation. It represents God becoming man, giving His body for you, dying on a cross, paying the judgment of the sins of the world. The cup represents salvation too, our experiential salvation, living the Christian life. How do I live now? We live by the cup of the new covenant. That is the power of the Holy Spirit, the new covenant of the Holy Spirit. So they, both of these are so vital to our lives. It's a very vital, important ritual. Now, nearly every assembly that does it has their own little rules. Nobody's rules are right. Nobody's rules are wrong. Some people do communion every time they meet. They're neither right nor wrong. Some people do it once a week. Some people do it once a month. We do it once a month, first Sunday of each month. Some people do it once a year. There's nothing in the Bible who's right or wrong. There's no rules like that, all that attached to it. The point is that you understand the power is not in the bread. Power is not, the efficacious power is not in the bread. It's not efficacious. The cup is not efficacious. It's what you understand what you're doing. And it's just to remind us. So that's why I like to do it once a month. Just to remind us, beginning of the month, as you were saved, this is how you're going to live. Take the bread, saved by faith. And take the cup, I'm going to live by faith. This is what both of these represent. Now, it's our custom also that everyone hold the bread until everyone has been served. And the reason we do that is that when we take communion with Him, we take communion amongst ourselves. So this in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the bread of the communion. Let's pray. Now, Father, how grateful we are for this sacred moment when we reflect on how you called us by your love. And this is just a reminder to be called back home. You sent your Son to die on our behalf. Now, Father, as we take this bread, pray that your Spirit will just cause us to remember it's by grace through faith that we can take it. That it was by love that He came. It was by His love that we're saved. And it's by grace now that we just reflect on this. And remind ourselves as we start a new month that we were saved by grace through faith. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it." That's a picture of his work on the cross. "And said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" It is our custom that everyone hold a cup till everyone has been served, that we might take communion together. We please stand. In the same manner, Jesus Christ took the cup also after supper. Passover is over. This is for the church. "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the bread of your word that we've studied today. Pray you take these teachings on the Holy Spirit, have them settle in our soul, and become a reality in our life as we live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, follow the Spirit. Father, we pray the food that we're about to partake and the fellowship we're about to enjoy, that you'll use as to enrich our souls and our lives. We fellowship with one another. We set it aside to your eternal glory and our remembrance. Father, we pray all of these things now in Christ's name. Amen.